Good morning. Welcome to the Capital Construction Subcommittee. It's February 25th. We have a lengthy agenda. I'm going to start right away with the work session on Senate Bill 1559. Please, Ms. Ames.
Mr. Chair, members of the subcommittee, Senate Bill 1559 requires qualified entities selling tobacco products or inhalant delivery systems to be licensed by the Department of Revenue beginning January 1st of 2017. DOR is to establish license fees at a rate that covers both their expenses for administering the program and the cost of the Oregon Health Authority, which is the agency responsible for doing the inspections, as well as education and outreach. The fiscal impact to Department of Revenue is minimal and can be absorbed. The fiscal for OHA is about $742,000 other funds, which is primarily to cover the cost of 11 staff, mostly those who do inspections. The fee revenue is anticipated to be able to be adequate to cover the cost for both agencies. The recommended -A13 amendment incorporates three policy amendments, the -A7, the -A9, and the -A12, and then also incorporates the expenditure limitation for the Oregon Health Authority. The policy amendments make a number of policy tweaks to the bill, including changes related to discipline, caps a licensure fee at $300 until February of 17, and requires annual reporting.
Thank you very much. Senator Steiner Hayward is here. I'd be glad to hear from you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, Elizabeth Steiner Hayward, State Senator from Senate District 17, and Ms. Ames has done her usual excellent job explaining the bill. I'll just say that I want to thank the tobacco control advocates and the business community for coming together on this. I think this is a balanced proposal that minimizes the amount of regulation, but will allow us to have improved enforcement ability to prevent sales of tobacco and inhalant delivery systems to children. And the amendments that Ms. Ames mentioned reflect concerns of the business community and of the tobacco control advocates, and we're trying to make sure that we take a fair and balanced approach to this. So I really can't do any more than that. I just want to be clear on the record that this was a collaborative effort among a lot of people, and I appreciate that. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you, Senator. Madam Speaker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator, thank you for being here, and thank you for your hard work on this bill. I just want to clarify for the record my understanding of the bill as it will get amended or has been amended, that it would still allow local communities to set some parameters around locations of small convenience stores, but only new stores. Stores that are currently in place near schools or other places that currently sell tobacco products could not be zoned out or whatever away from a school. Only it could potentially, if a county so chose, to potentially limit new stores coming in certain locations. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Kotek, absolutely correct.
Okay, thank you very much.
Any other questions? Thank you, Senator. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Jarrett? You ready for the -813?
I will move the I will move the amendments.
Thank you. Senator Gerard has moved.
I move the -813 amendment to Senate Bill 1559.
Thank you. Senator Gerard moves the -813 amendments to Senate Bill 1559. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Senator Gerard.
Yeah, I'll move. You want me to? Mr. Chairman, I move SB 1559 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Devlin has moved Senate Bill 1559 as amended to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Senator Gerard objects. Motion carries. Senate Bill 1559 heads to the full committee. Senator Devlin, any recommendations on Senator Hayward, probably?
To both the full committee and to the Senate floor.
And the Senate.
Steiner Hayward suggested representative.
And Representative Taylor, we'll ask Representative Taylor to carry on the House floor. Very good. Maybe we can open them. Yeah. Okay. And close the work session on Senate Bill 1559 and wait for the transition and open the work session on House Bill 4020.
Went around the count, yeah.
Co-chairs, members of the committee, House Bill 4020 relates to the Oregon Growth Board. The bill replaces a requirement that management companies and state agencies under contract with the Oregon Growth Board invest a specified amount in Oregon and gives the Oregon Growth Board rulemaking authority to require investment in Oregon. Declares emergency effective on passage.
Thank you. This is a bill I've spent more time on. As you, we don't have any amendments.
No amendments.
Passed the House 59-0, passed the Senate Policy Committee unanimously. So I'm happy to carry it to the full committee if that if the motion passes. Senator Girard had been assigned in the Senate committee. So Senator Girard, if you're ready for a motion.
Sure. I move House Bill 4020. It says A.
It was amended. Okay. In the
House. House Bill 4020A to the Full Ways Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you,
Senator. Don't tell Senator Olson. Senator Olson, emergency clause was the amendment to the
That is correct. And I can explain why that is, too. But Senator Girard has moved House Bill 4020A to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. I can carry to the full committee, Senator Girard, to the Senate. It doesn't need to go back to the House. Anything else on that one? Thank you very much. Close the work session on House Bill 4020. Open a work session on House Bill 4079. Good morning.
Is this the B-11?
Good morning, Co-Chair Reed, members of the subcommittee. House Bill 4079 requires the Land Conservation and Development Commission to establish and implement an affordable housing pilot program, adopting rules to implement that program before July 1st of 2017. The commission is to select two pilot projects, one from a city with a population of less than 25,000 and one from a city with a population greater than 25,000. LCDC is required to adopt rules defining affordable housing, specifying the types of affordable housing allowed on pilot project sites, limiting the total acreage of pilot project sites to no more than 50 acres, and specifying local government efforts that will demonstrate the accommodation and encouragement of the local government in developing needed housing. LCDC is also required to adopt rules that specify requirements for affordable housing that may include a sales price or rental rate range, and LCDC is allowed to establish a rule allowing for an expedited process for amending urban growth boundaries to include pilot project sites. The bill also provides for direction to local governments where pilot projects are cited regarding the duties and restrictions of local governments with respect to the project. LCDC is required to report on the progress of the pilot program to the committees of the Legislative Assembly related to housing and human services following the 2016 legislative session and for three consecutive legislative sessions beginning with the 2017 session. The Department of Land Conservation and Development believes that the rulemaking can be completed over the course of two meetings of the Land Conservation and Development Commission and will require existing staff time for the administrative support of the commission meetings. DLCD states that it does not have the capacity currently to do certain research activities pertaining to urban growth boundary issues related to the required rulemaking and will require contracted services for that function at an estimated cost of $60,000 to $100,000. There are two amendments recommended with this bill. The first one is the fiscal office recommends the adoption of the B-10 amendment. The amendment provides a one-time $100,000 general fund appropriation to the Department of Land Conservation and Development for carrying out the purposes of the bill. And the second one is the B-11 amendment. The B-11 expands the list of local areas that would be ineligible for selection as a pilot project site to include Polk County and the cities within Polk County and intergovernment within Jefferson County that is served by the North Unit Irrigation District.
And Marion County in that as well, perhaps?
Yes. That was in addition, Marion and Polk.
In the B-11s?
Yes,
it's true.
Thank you. And Marion County as well.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks for the clarification. Representative Stark, please.
Thank you, Chairs. Co-chairs, my name is Dwayne Stark, State Representative in Southern Oregon, House District 4, and I'm here. I'm more than willing to answer questions about the bill, but I wanted to really to just give you a quick update on why the last-minute amendment with these exemptions. One of the claims I've made as I've testified on this bill numerous times now is that I'm a pretty good listener, And one of the things that I've been hearing from a number of people inside the building and outside of the building is concerns specifically about farmlands in Marion County, Polk County, and also concerns about the North Irrigation District. Now, it is, in my opinion, the bill was drafted in a very strong way to protect farmlands, and it specifically says high-value farmlands are not to be considered for this pilot program. That being said, out of a gesture of good faith, just to really make a statement that in no way whatsoever are we looking to bulldoze farmlands, but rather we want to encourage communities to come up with innovative ideas. So out of a gesture of good faith, we wanted to go ahead and exempt Marion and Polk County and North Irrigation District just to say, hey, we are listening. This is a very modest proposal, and we are proceeding with caution. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Huffman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just want to acknowledge the work of Representative Stark and Speaker Kotek and really appreciate the work on this. North Unit Irrigation District is getting hammered right now. There's a spotted frog situation going on down there. And when they're listed in anything by name, it scares them. And so I just really appreciate all the work in making sure that they're specifically exempted from the bill. So thank you.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? I don't see any. Thank you, Representative Stark.
Thank you.
Senator Girod.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move the dash B10 amendments to House Bill 5079 or 4079B.
Thank you. Senator Girod has moved the B10 amendments to House Bill 4079. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. B10s are adopted. Senator Girod.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the dash B11 amendments to House Bill 4079B.
Thank you. Senator Girod has moved the dash B11 amendments to House Bill 4079. Any discussion of that motion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. The B11s are adopted.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move House Bill 4079B as amended with the dash B10s and the dash B11s to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Girod has moved House Bill 4079 as amended by the B10s and B11s to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion on that? I will.
No discussion.
Okay. I have a statement I want to make. And I also appreciate the work of Representative Stark and the Speaker. I've shared with the Representative Stark. I think this has come a long way. It's not quite far enough for me, so I'm going to vote no on the motion. But appreciate the work that has come. Senator Devlin, please.
Mr. Co-Chair. I concur with your statement, and I'll be a no on the motion. So.
Very good. Thank you. Any other objections to the motion?
Yes.
President Courtney is a yes. Senator Devlin and I are noes. Any others? The motion carries. House Bill 4079 heads to the full committee. Representative Stark makes sense to carry on the House floor. Senator Devlin, any recommendations for the Senate? I was asking Senator Devlin if he had recommendations for carrier
in the Senate.
And full.
Senator Girod, do you want to carry it?
Not really.
No.
I will. I'll carry
okay.
it.
Okay.
Senator Girod will carry in full as well?
Oh, good grief.
No?
I'll carry it.
Okay.
Carry
Senator Girod will carry it in full and on the floor. Representative Stark on the House floor.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Close the work session on House Bill 4079. With that, we're going to move to a public hearing on Senate Bill 1587. Mr. Durango.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Senate Bill 1597 is what we traditionally call the program change bill. It's necessary to make the statutory changes that implement the 2015-17 legislatively adopted budget and clarifies the statutory application for changes being made this session. It's not an appropriation bill, so it does not include the appropriation of funds. The fiscal or budgetary impacts are included in either House Bill 5201 or Senate Bill 5701. We had public testimony sign-up sheet, and no one signed up to testify.
No one signed up.
That's a surprise.
Is there anyone who feels moved to testify now? I don't see anyone. So we'll close the public hearing and open a work session on Senate Bill 1597.
Mr. Chair, there are various sections in this bill. I'll go over them very quickly.
Thank you.
The Oregon Courthouse Capital Construction and Improvement Fund is there's language to correct the program criteria and requirements for projects funded in the 15-17 biennium. There are some changes to the reporting and documentation for the State Debt Policy Advisory Commission. Removes provisions that require the Department of Administrative Services to treat any general fund appropriation made for the purposes of the Oregon State Fair as a loan to be repaid. It combines the Judicial Department technology fee revenues received prior to July 1st, 2013, with other revenues deposited into the State Court Technology Fund. There's a project that was not fully transferred from the former Department of Community Colleges and Workforce Development to the new Higher Education Coordinating Commission. There is a provision to increase the statutorily set salaries for judges. But again, there's no appropriation of the money in this bill. It's in another bill. Creates a new treasury fund for the Legislative Administration Committee to receive funds from the Oregon State Capital Foundation for the History Gateway. It creates a new treasury fund for the Legislative Administration Committee to receive funds from the Oregon State Capital Foundation for operating expenses. It transfers liquor revenue to the Oregon Health Authority to fund a youth marijuana use prevention pilot program and that money needs to be paid back to the liquor fund no later than September 30th, 2017 with interest. And it directs that declared earnings from the Oregon Growth Account are to be distributed by the same formula applied to other earnings of the Education Stability Fund.
Very good. Thank you, sir.
The dash twos?
Dash twos, yep.
Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 1597.
Thank you. Senator Gerard moves the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 1597. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, motion carries. Dash two amendments are adopted. Senator Gerard, please.
I move Senate Bill 1597 as amended with the dash two amendments to the full Ways and Means with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Gerard has moved Senate Bill 1597 as amended by the dash two amendments to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senate Bill 1597 goes to the full committee.
Mr. Co-Chair.
Senator Devlin, please.
For carriers to the full, Representative Buckley. And to the House floor, Representative Buckley, and to the Senate floor, myself.
Very good. Thank you, sir. I'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1597, and we'll move to Senate Bill 5701 for a public hearing.
Mr. Hill. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Senate Bill 5701 is the budget rebalance bill, budget reconciliation bill, if you will. Along with the 2016 budget decisions, the bill includes technical adjustments and actions recommended by the Interim Joint Ways and Means Committee. There is public testimony scheduled for today, and you do have a sign-up sheet.
Very good. Thank you. So Janet Bird, I can read your name. Walt is on here and then scratched out. He's not. Okay. So then we have Marianne from the Farm Bureau, whose last name I can't read. And Doug Woodcock, please. Ms. Berg, please go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Senator Gerard, co-chair, members of the committee, my name is Janet Bird. I'm the executive director of Neighborhood Partnerships. We convene the Housing Alliance, and I just very briefly want to thank you all for your work in this budget to create housing opportunity. We're really excited about the two things you did to keep us from moving backwards, the investment in housing preservation and in foreclosure counseling for homeowners facing foreclosure. We're also really excited about the investment in the emergency assistance for folks experiencing homelessness. It's a really important step, and we thank you for this. Of course, it's not enough. As you know, we're facing a housing crisis, so we will continue to work with you in the interim and in the next session, I'm sure. Thank you very much, though.
Thank you. Who's next?
Co-chairs, my name is Marianne Nash, here on behalf of the Oregon Farm Bureau. We've submitted a testimony in favor of Section 58 of the Dash 4 amendments, which allocates money to the Oregon Water Resources Department to conduct a groundwater study in Harney County. Wanted to thank you for including that and emphasize how important it is to that county. As you all know, that county has suffered a lot this year. Earlier this year, they also had any further water appropriations shut down by the Oregon Water Resources Department over concerns about long-term water availability in the basin. Any long-term planning is not going to be able to move forward until this study is complete. So we really appreciate the attention and devotion of resources to the study to get it done as quickly as possible so that basin can begin to heal and move forward. So thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Woodcock.
Thank you, committee members. Mr. Chair, Doug Woodcock, Deputy Director with the Oregon Water Resources Department. Thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony in support of the Dash 4 amendment for SB 5701, which would authorize funding for the groundwater study work in collaboration with the citizens of the Greater Harney Valley. The community has asked that the state complete the study as quickly as possible to identify groundwater resources that may be available for further development while still being protective of the existing senior rights. These peer-reviewed scientific studies take several years to complete. This budget proposal is for the remainder of the 15-17 biennium. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any questions for these? Ms. Friars, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Not a question, but a statement. I want to thank the Speaker of the House as the Republican advocate for the budget. On the House side, I had an opportunity to meet with the Speaker several times, and before I could even bring the water issue up, she was bringing it up as an issue that was important for us to address. And so, Madam Speaker, thank you for really helping us on this.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Thank you all for testifying. So we have no one else who has signed up. Is there anybody else who wants to testify on the bill? I don't see any, so I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5701 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5701.
I have a question for staff.
Senator Girard,
there's quite a bit of angst in what we agreed to for the UCC Community College. They feel like they've been cut $350,000. That's my understanding that it went to Douglas County at the last minute. Can someone fill me in as to exactly what happened there?
I might, unless you want to snap.
For the record, Doug Wilson, LFO. Can you repeat your question, Mr. Chair?
Well, from what we agreed to on the budget for UCC, there is a shortfall of about $350,000, and apparently, and it's my understanding, it went to Douglas County at the last minute, so I'd like to just know.
Mr. Co-Chair, members of the subcommittee, the original request came in two parts from UC or from the Memphis Community College or UCC. The first one was $4.25 million for the replacement of Snyder Hall where the incident happened. That is fully funded as a general fund grant in the bill. The second request was for slightly over $2.1 million for staffing related to reaction to that or actions resulting from the incident to recover, as well as a number of purchases of security equipment, network, IT to support that, and some other things, including security staff. That is funded at $1.8 million in the bill. It was funded slightly higher than that, not the full 2.1 in the discussions, but at the last, toward the end of the session, the governor's office came to us with a request from Douglas County for the sheriff's office, I believe for the DA for crime victims, and I think there's one other item dealing with rental of property toward after the incident at the fairgrounds and maybe some other things, so that was funded at a level of $200,000, and I believe that is a grant through Department of Administrative Services to Douglas County.
Okay, thank you.
questions, Senator Jod?
No, that just answered your question.
Okay. Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. Two items. First of all, on Senate Bill 5701, I need to declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your potential conflict.
Colleagues, as you know, I'm a member of a limited liability company that does economic development and business development throughout Eastern Oregon. And in this this bill, several of the counties that I work with are included in it. So I just wanted to get that on the record. The second thing, I just want to point something out. And I fully support Senate Bill 5701, but I want to make an observation. When I started in the legislature 16 years ago, some of the issues that we're having to fund today, we didn't have to fund. Think about what's going on the Malheur Refuge that we're appropriating money for to reimburse Harney County and law enforcement officials throughout Oregon. And you think about the incident at Umpqua Community College, and it's a horrible tragedy. But if you add up those dollars, we're looking at $6 to $7 million that's being spent on two events that occurred in our state's history. Just think about how many teachers we could have purchased as a result of having to compensate for those two incidences. And you know, I guess it's just a commentary on society today, but it's unfortunate that we're utilizing these dollars in this way rather than putting them into our schools. We need to do it, no doubt about it, but it's unfortunate that this is what society's come to.
Thank you, Representative. Appreciate the comments. As it relates to your potential conflict, you know that you need to file that with the clerk's office as well. I wanted to thank the co-chairs for the budget note that's in this, dealing with the current service level at universities as well. I know that really is an important issue, and I'm hoping that the work group that's going to be taking that on is going to be recognizing the differences between community colleges and universities, including the issue of collective bargaining. I really appreciate you including that as well. Shirley, you had something you wanted to?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, a couple of things. Just as part of the packet that's out for the bill, there is a summary that goes through each section and lists each one of those things out. There's the draft budget report. And, you know, we typically do not bring budget reports to committee. We do that to help explain everything that's in the bill. There are budget notes that were included there, and that was posted yesterday to try to give adequate time for the public and for members to read through everything. We will be adopting new budget notes today, and actually those budget notes are different than the budget notes that are in that draft budget report. There's been a new one that's been added, and a couple of them have had some wording changes to them. So I just wanted to forewarn everyone out there that the budget notes that are in that draft budget report may change slightly when it goes to full. And with that, I'd like to read about the rest of the bill if I could.
Yes, please.
The budget increases the general purpose emergency fund to $32 million. And maintains a $40 million special purpose appropriation for potential costs in the Oregon Health Authority or the Department of Human Services. After all adjustments, the general fund ending balance is projected to be about $225 million. The special purpose appropriation of $120 million was allocated to state agencies to cover employee compensation costs. It was set aside for that purpose. This is expected to cover about 93% of the estimated general fund costs. Lottery funds, other funds, and federal funds are increased to cover the full amount needed. Other actions include, but are not limited to, adding $6 million general fund and $5 million in special purpose appropriations for the Department of Corrections for increased inmate population and for improved treatment for seriously mentally ill offenders. It leaves the department with about a $16 million budget shortfall. Appropriates $24 million general fund to cover the state's share of the cost for the 2015 fire season. Provides additional general fund resources to keep pre-K through 12 education programs, including increasing funding for Oregon pre-kindergarten by $5.3 million, early intervention and early childhood special education by $5.4 million, relief nurseries by $300,000, and $17.5 million for a mixed delivery preschool program. In response to the shooting in October at Umpqua Community College, the bill provides another $4.25 million to repair Snyder Hall, where the shooting occurred, and another $1.8 million for security staff improvements and to safety and security systems and other costs resulting from the incident. It partially rebalances the Oregon Health Authority budget, leaving one potential issue of $17 million unresolved. The budget also includes $10 million other funds for investments in rural hospital transformation and sustainability. It directly covers a little over half of the projected $71.7 million general fund deficit for the Department of Human Services. The three remaining caseload forecasts may help lower the agency's request from the special purpose appropriation. And lastly, it adds $2.5 million general fund to significantly expand Oregon's air toxics program.
Very good. Thank you. So we're ready to move adoption of the budget notes. Is that
yes, Mr. Chair? You need
the budget. The amendments.
Well, we need to move the budget notes to the budget report first.
Okay.
Senator Dreyer.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move that we approve the budget notes for the budget report to Senate Bill 5701.
Thank you. Senator Dreyer has moved to approve the budget notes for the budget report in Senate Bill 5701. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. The budget notes are approved. Senator Gerard.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the adoption of the -4 amendments to Senate Bill 5701.
Thank you. Senator Gerard has moved the approval of the -4 amendments to Senate Bill 5701. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. The -4s are adopted. Senator Devlin.
Mr. Chairman, I move SB 5701 as amended to full committee with a due pass as amended recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Dreyer. I move Senate Bill 5701 as amended to the full committee with a due pass as amended recommendation. Discussion?
I have some discussion.
Okay, Senator Dreyer, please.
Colleagues, I tend to be the person that really tries to look at the budget coming down the road. We have already a projected $1.3 billion shortfall that may go up. And I think, if anything, we probably underestimated it. And that's on a $20 billion budget, basically. There's things in this in 5701 I love. I mean, I really, truly do. But there are some things that the numbers I just can't go with. State employee raises of $290 million. Non-state employee raises of $10 million. University staff raises of $1.9 million. Judge raises of $630,000. Summer for high school and post-secondary staff for $300,000. The Oregon Health Insurance Marketplace for $1.732 million. And then the expenses for prosecution of a conservative judge at $172,000. There are just things in here that is really hard for anybody that's conservative and looks out for the budget and what's coming down the road to vote for. And so I will be a no vote.
Thank you, Senator. Appreciate the comments. Other discussion? Madam Speaker.
Just a brief comment. And I always appreciate the good co-chairs, fiscal eye. We often agree on quite a few things.
We do.
One of the things I would point out in the budget, particularly out of the advice of legislative fiscal, is that we are leaving a substantial reserve, general fund plus lottery fund, I believe is about $240 million-ish in reserve. We're, you know, halfway through the biennium, we will have fire costs. So I really appreciate everyone's ability to get us with a good reserve going through the rest of the biennium. Hopefully we won't need it, but we want to be prepared. So I want to say that that is the counter to that. Yes, there are some one-time costs in this budget. We think we tried to rein in roll-ups, but that reserve will be helpful.
Yes, it will. Any other comments? So the motion is to send the bill as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Senator Dodd is objecting. Are there any other objections? I don't see any. The motion carries. And the bill goes to the full committee. Senator Devlin, please.
Carriers to the full committee, Buckley to the full committee and to the floor, myself to the Senate floor.
Very good. Thank you.
And the reason Buckley is getting all these is I'm presiding the Senate committee.
So. You're presiding what?
Very good. He's presiding. Yes, very good. Okay. So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 5701. We're open a public hearing on Senate Bill 5702. Welcome back.
Morning.
Good morning. Please.
Co-chairs. And committee members, Senate Bill 5702 ratifies fee changes approved by the Department of Administrative Services and adopted administratively by the Department of Aviation, the Real Estate Agency, the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, the Department of Consumer and Business Services, the Board of Accountancy, and the Board of Medical Imaging. These fee changes were discussed and approved in the Transportation and Economic Development, General Government, and Education subcommittees of the Joint Committee on Ways and Means between February 2nd and February 17th. Just real briefly, the Department of Aviation restructured tie-down fees at state airports and established fees for publicly owned unmanned aerial systems that are expected to raise $7,560 in 2015-17. The real estate agency increased the land development fee for condominium filings that is expected to raise $169,708 in the current biennium. The Oregon Liquor Control Commission established 19 fees associated with the regulation of marijuana that are expected to raise $5.9 million in 15-17. The Department of Consumer and Business Services ratified administrative fees that had previously been established by Cover Oregon for insurers participating in the Oregon Health Insurance Marketplace. These fees are $9.66 per member per month for health insurance plans and 97 cents per member per month for dental insurance plans in the 2015 and 2016 plan years. The Oregon Board of Accountancy ratified changes to the license fees for accountants and accounting firms that are expected to raise $157,400. And finally, the Oregon Board of Medical Imaging established a fee for physician assistants who perform fluoroscopy. The fees are expected to raise $9,450 in 15-17. On OLIS, there's a dash one amendment, which is recommended, and that just removes four Department of Agriculture fees from the bill. Those fees are not being implemented by the agency at this time.
Very good. Thank you. Do we have any sign-ups for public testimony? Mm-hmm. We're in a public hearing. Don't have any? Okay, so no one has signed up to testify. Is there anyone who would like to?
Yes.
I don't see any, so we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 5702 and open a work session on Senate Bill 5702. Senator Dry, please.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 5702.
Thank you. Senator Dry has moved the dash one amendments to Senate Bill 5702. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. The dash one amendments are adopted. Senator Dry, please.
I move 5702 as amended by the dash one amendments to the full Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Dry has moved Senate Bill 5702 as amended to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. Senate Bill 5702 goes to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Senator Devlin, please. Yes.
Mr. Chairman, I'm on 5702.
No, we did that.
I'm okay. Asking for potential carriers, please.
Oh, potential carriers. I thought he was motioning to me that he, didn't.
No.
I was trying to figure out
carriers while he
was doing that. Steiner Hayward to the full. Steiner Hayward to the Senate floor.
Okay.
I tried to figure out how many fees were in health care and general government.
And who had... And Representative Smith will carry on the House floor. Thank you very much. Close the work session on Senate Bill 5702 and open a public hearing on House Bill 5201. Mr. Bender.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair and subcommittee members. House Bill 5201 is the bill that allocates or changes the allocation of lottery and criminal fine account monies. This is a regular bill that is passed as part of budget reconciliation each session. The bill essentially provides lottery funds to agencies that have been given additional lottery funds expenditure limitation in Senate Bill 5702. The bill will includes a number of adjustments. It increases lottery allocations by $819,035 and criminal fine account allocations by $1,063,680 to address the costs of employee compensation plan changes. This is comparable to the salary pot action that you took in 5702 for general fund. It establishes a $400,000 lottery allocation to OBDD for redevelopment of the Port of Port Orford cannery building. It increases lottery allocations to OBDD for administration of the Seismic Rehabilitation Grant Program, the Oregon Wave Energy Trust, and a Willamette Valley Intermodal Hub Feasibility Study. It increases the CFA allocation to DPSST to fund a one-time increase in training classes. And finally, it increases the lottery allocation to the state school fund by a bit over $39.5 million. This is part of the overall budget rebalance. There is a general fund reduction in 5702 of the same amount, so the level of state school fund support is not actually affected in the budget rebalance. We have these amendments drafted as the dash two amendments. The dash two amendments would retain an ending balance of lottery funds in the Economic Development Fund of $15 million. That was what was targeted during the 2015 session. That's approximately 1.25% of expenditures and allocations.
Thank you, sir. We have two people who want to testify before we move to those. Gil Riddell and Mary Stern, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Excuse me, members of the committee. For the record, Gil Riddell, Association of Oregon Counties. AOC requests that the allocation to counties for the current biennium of video lottery proceeds for badly needed economic development projects be adjusted to be based on the February 2016 revenue forecast, as shown in what we had as the dash two amendments. I noticed that Steve Bender mentioned the dash twos.
That was a dare.
Oh, okay. Under statute, counties receive 2.5% of the net receipts from video lottery games. These receipts are dedicated to economic development, county economic development projects. Beginning in the 2005-2007 biennium, 50% of the cost of the governor's administration of regional solutions has been paid out of this source. For the current biennium, the 2015 legislature decided to allocate a fixed dollar amount from this source to counties rather than the statutorily required percentage of 2.5%. The fixed amount equaled video lottery proceeds projected in the May 2015 revenue forecast. For the allocation budget and budget adjustments this session, you are using the more current February 2016 forecast. Based on that forecast, the 2.5% share for county economic development minus one half of the funding of regional solutions equals some $40.8 million. The dash two amendments bring the allocation closer to the statutorily required 2.5%. For that reason, we request an aye vote on the dash two amendments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Riddell. Ms. Stern.
Mr. Co-Chairs, members of the committee, good morning. My name is Mary Stern, and I am also with the Association of Oregon Counties. Since 1991, Oregon law has required the State Lottery Commission to transfer 2.5% of net receipts from video lottery games to counties for economic development. Counties gave up their rights to control video lottery gaming in exchange for this 2.5%. Net receipts from video lottery games means the amount of money that is received from the operation of video lottery games after the payment of prizes, but prior to any other payment, and that's in statute. In 2011, the legislature passed House Bill 3188, which required all 36 counties to report expenditure information related to the use of video lottery funds for economic development. The 2015 report can be found on the Oregon Transparency website, and in my written testimony, there's a link that'll take you right there. In 2015, some counties received a lot of money, but most counties received much smaller amounts. Now, I'd hope to have some commissioners here for you today to testify about what they're doing in their counties, but the timing was just bad, so you're stuck with me, a former county commissioner from Yamhill County for almost 12 years. And I know firsthand the importance of these dollars to our rural communities. So Gillam County received about $49,000, Harney County, $63,000, Hood River County, $49,000, Lincoln County, $162,000, Union County, $120,000, and Wheeler County, $89,000. And the expenditure report will show lots of great projects that these counties are using the money for. In Gillam County, the bulk of funds were expended in a grant to the Port of Arlington to assist in business development through grants and construction projects and infrastructure on the Port of Arlington's property. Hood River County, funds workforce housing partnerships with the City of Hood River, Oregon Regional Solutions Program and Columbia Gorge Housing Authority, biomass utilization and campus development with prospective tenants, and creation of infrastructure, and many, many more. And you'll see in the report some of these great projects. Counties are like MacGyver. They can put together little bits of money with duct tape and paper clips and come up with great projects. County commissioners and judges were disappointed to learn that they'd have to fight for an allotment that reflects current statute. Many legislators with whom we spoke were really surprised that we didn't automatically get the 2.5% increase. They said, isn't that in state statute? And we said, well, yes, it is. Yet no adjustment has been made in the distribution of video revenues to counties in the Dash 4 amendments. So AOC respectfully requests that you adopt the Dash 2 amendment and honor the agreement made back in 1991. Thank you, and I'm happy to take any questions.
Thank you. Any questions?
I have a question.
I got it online
here, but real quickly, tell me the difference between the Dash 2s and the Dash 4s.
The Dash 4s don't include the increase in the distribution to counties.
Okay.
Senator Devlin, please.
Question for Mr. Bender. Mr. Bender, we've followed the current practice, I believe, in a previous biennium. Is that correct?
Yes, Senator. If I may put a little context, we've been hearing about the history and the statutes. For several biennia now, the legislative budgets have established fixed levels of allocations to a number of programs, including the distribution of counties, for which there are also statutory formulas in place. This was within the prerogatives of the legislature and done in law. And the reason why this has been done is it basically began during the recession when lottery revenues were declining and continually coming in below forecast. I believe the legislature wanted to provide stability to the recipients, and basically the state took on the risk of situations where revenues came in below forecast. In those cases, distributions to counties, distributions to higher ed for sports action, all of these distributions were held constant. Again, in this biennium, in 2015, the legislature decided to provide a fixed amount for these recipients. The amounts were calculated at the statutory formula levels that were in the May forecast, and you passed the budget to continue with stable funding. In this particular instance, the counties here are requesting that you adjust their amount upward.
Senator Devlin, please.
Follow up to Mr. Bender. In those occasions when we didn't do it this way and our lottery revenues actually, or when we actually allocated a specific amount in the previous bienniums rather than the percentage based on that forecast, and the lottery's amount didn't actually equal that ultimately. Our forecasts went down. Did we recoup the money from the counties that we had overpaid?
No, you did not.
Okay. The co-chair has discussed this, and it's become this common practice. I think I can't speak for whoever is the co-chair in 2017. Obviously, I may still be back here. Obviously, Representative Buckley will not. Obviously, even if I'm back here, it's up to the presiding officer to determine who the co-chair is. But I would hope that myself, if I was here, or a co-chair that was here in 2017, would true up this number then in our final forecast. But I think why we're doing this basically is we're not trying to true this up every time we get a forecast in, because sometimes the forecasts are going to go down during the biennium. So I think it would be far more appropriate if we were going to true this up to true it up at the end of the biennium. All of us actually are very experienced that are here. We all know that the first task that the legislature will have in 2017 relative to the budget is to true up the 2015-17 budget and do the final rebalance of that. And that's, I think, the appropriate time to entertain this discussion.
Thank you, Senator Devlin. Any other discussion?
Mr. Chair,
Huffman, please.
not regarding the county, but I do have a question for either Mr. Bender or Senator Devlin.
Okay.
The Dash 4 amendments include the EIECSE, EIEIO money, that was a bump in funding because they didn't get quite all they needed. I believe that was in the Dash 4. Did that bump make it into the Dash 2? Or am I wrong on the Dash 4 thinking that the bump was in?
Go ahead.
I'm not sure that if it's in this bill that you're talking about or in one of the other budget reconciliation bills. This bill has the adjustments that are indicated here in the memo to increase lottery allocations. The Dash 2 amendments, if you chose to adopt them, could be adopted with the Dash 4s, and we would then combine the amendments for full committee. The impact on the budget of if you do adopt the Dash 2s in addition to the Dash 4s, there would be an additional lottery funds allocation of approximately $1.75 million. That would reduce the ending balance in the lottery fund from the $15 million that is in the that is included in 5702 down to about $13.2 million, or about 1.1% of expenditures.
And Mr. Chair, I looked at my notes and it was the Dash 4 on the 5701, I think it was.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Representative Smith, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I guess I just want to put on the record, to me it's not so much about the money, it's about the principle. And our counties, whether it's Multnomah County or all the way down to Wheeler County, are our partners. They're not a constituent, they're partners. And there really is a long-term understood agreement between our partners and the state about how these dollars were to be allocated. And so I guess I understand the financial end of reconciling at the end. But I just want to get it on the record. Sometimes an agreement's an agreement, and while we don't have the obligation to honor previous agreements, sometimes it's the right thing to do. And because counties are our partners, to me, I think we ought to take a hard, hard look at their request. So I just want to put that on the record.
Thank you, Representative. So we're still in public hearing. Senator Gerard, shall we?
Well, yeah, I'll proceed, but I need to put my two bits worth.
Yeah, please,
too.
Please do.
There just is a tremendous number of counties that are, in my opinion, bankrupt, and a lot of that has to do with O&C lands, which really the state isn't the one that's responsible for that. But they are really financially strapped. The assurances from the co-chair that this will be dealt with on the end of the biennium will let me move forward. The being fiscally conservative, that sounds like a tremendous amount that's left in lottery. That's not very much. And so we have to put out a tremendous number of bonds, and if the bond rate goes up, then our obligation goes up. So this is something I think that we really, really have to deal with, and I want to make sure that the counties get a fair deal at the end. And I'm sorry, but I do think that we probably have to leave that till the end just to see how much we have left.
Thank you, Senator. I think you make a very articulate argument. You two are the only two hosts who have signed up to testify. Is there anyone else who'd like to testify on House Bill 5201? I don't see anyone, so I'm going to close the public hearing on House Bill 5201 and open a work session on House Bill 5201. Senator Gerard?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 5201.
Thank you. Senator Gerard has moved the Dash 4 amendments to House Bill 5201. Is there any discussion? Did I cut you off? Did you need to say anything, Mr. Bender?
No, this is fine. I had misspoken earlier, and these are the LFO recommended amendments, the Dash
4. Very good. Okay. No discussion. Are there any objections to the motion? I don't see any. The Dash 4 amendments are adopted. Senator Gerard, please.
Yes, I move House Bill 5201 as amended by the -4 amendments to the full Ways and Means with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Gerardus moved House Bill 5201 as amended by the -4 amendments to the full committee with the due pass recommendations. Any discussion? Representative Smith, please.
I'm sorry to delay. Just really quick, I may declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please state your conflict.
Mr. Coach, I'm a member of a limited liability company that does economic development and business development in Eastern Oregon, and some of my partners do include counties.
Thank you. As always, please fill it out with with the clerk's office.
Thank you.
No problem. Any objections to the motion? I don't see. The motion carries. House Bill 5201 as amended heads to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Senator Devlin?
I think Senator Johnson is
here. Senator Johnson.
Very good. House recommendation?
Nancy.
Representative Nathanson, please.
And actually, just a lottery allocation. Senator Johnson to the full, and potentially Senator Cruz to the Senate floor.
Okay. Very good. Thank you.
Senator Cruz will not carry it. It'll be Senator Johnson.
Okay. Very good. We'll close the work session on House Bill 5201. And not quite 45. Okay. So we're open to work session on House Bill 5202. Mr. Hill, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 5202 amends the limits established during the 2015 legislative session on the maximum amount of bonds and third-party financing agreements that state agencies may issue. The proceeds from the issuance of bonds are included as revenues in agency budgets. The recommendation approves $5,070,000 in Article 11G bonds for a project at Portland Community College for the American Manufacturing Innovation District. The recommendation also increases Article 11Q authority by $81.1 million for 10 different projects. Each one of those projects are described in the budget report. The lottery revenue bonds fund four other projects totaling $11.3 million. Those projects are also described in the budget report. There will be $2.5 million in general fund debt service in the 2015-17 biennium for the new projects. Estimated debt service will total $20.8 million general fund and $2.2 million of lottery funds during the 17-19 biennium. The bill also, the bill and the budget report also contain clarifying language relating to refunding of bonds for public universities and approved scope changes to projects at some community colleges, as well as modifications to requirements for the Coos Bay Channel project. And Mr. Chair, if I might point out, we do have a summary that lists out each one of the projects. The bottom part, there were some public testimony when we had public hearing on the bill, and I just wanted to point out that there were five projects that we ended up paying cash for, which was the Snyder Hall, which we've already talked about, the longitudinal database at the Department of Education, the City of Cornelius Library and Affordable Housing Project, the Holly Theater Project, and Willamette Falls Locks. So those are not included in this bill, but they were covered with cash by the co-chairs.
Very good. And we are in work session. We need the -5 amendments, it looks like.
Yeah, thank you.
Senator Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move the -5 amendments to House Bill 5202.
Thank you. Senator Gerard moves the -5 amendments to House Bill 5202. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. The -5 amendments are adopted. Senator Gerard, please.
I move House Bill 5202 as amended with the -5 amendments to the full Ways and Means Committee with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Gerard has moved House Bill 5202 as amended by the -5 amendments to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Representative Smith, please.
Just very quickly, you know, dollars are limited, and I really want to acknowledge and thank leadership on both sides of the aisle for helping to ensure that dollars got spread, you know, around the state of Oregon. And I think it was done in a very fair manner. I think projects that had a high need for both parties were taken care of, and I really want to acknowledge leadership. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Smith. Always a challenge when there are many more
it
good
is.
Projects.
It is, but I think it was well done.
Thank you. Other discussion? Any objections to the motion? I don't see any. The motion carries. House Bill 5202 goes to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Senator Devlin, recommendations, please.
Actually, the recommendations to the full is Senator Gerard, and to the Senate floor, Senator Gerard.
I don't know whether this is from.
Yep.
Representative,
would you? Okay. I will carry on the House floor. And we'll close the work session on House Bill 5202. Let's do 3. Good. We'll open the work session on House Bill 5203.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 5203 is a budget bill for capital construction projects. The bill established authority for planning, design, and construction of projects with cost over $1 million. Each project must be authorized by the legislature. Some of the projects are funded with bond proceeds provided in the bill you just heard about, House Bill 5202, while others are funded with cash. All capital construction expenditure limitations established in the bill are for 6 years, and projects are described in the budget report, which is posted on OLIS. The Dash 3 amendment replaces the bill, and LFO recommends adoption of the Dash 3 amendment.
Very good. Thank you. Senator Dry, please.
Are we in work session?
We are.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 5203.
Thank you. Senator Dry has moved the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 5203. Is there any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. The Dash 3 amendments are adopted. Senator Dry, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move House Bill 5203 as amended with the Dash 3 amendments to the full Ways and Means Committee with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Dry. Move House Bill 5203 as amended with the Dash 3 amendments to the full committee with the due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Senator Dry, please.
I just want to make sure you don't adjourn. You want to stand
I got it written down right here. Plus, we got another bill before this.
That's right. I'm sorry.
Okay. No problem. I got it written down. Any discussion on the motion?
I already made the motion.
Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. House Bill 5203 goes to the full committee with the due pass recommendation.
Carriers?
Carriers, Senator Gerard to the full, Senator Gerard to the full.
Okay.
The co-chair of the capital construction set.
I'm happy to do it. I'll carry on the House floor too. Very good. We'll close the work session on House Bill 5203. And now we have, passed the appropriate time to go back.
Yes, we are good.
Very good. So I'm going to open a public hearing on Senate Bill 1596. Mr. Rocco, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. The Senate Bill 1596 is a measure that revises procedures for the preparation of the governor's and legislatively adopted budgets and makes some other changes to update language regarding the state budget process. This was the product of the task force on the state budget process that worked during the last interim and brought a bill forward, Senate Bill 159, to the 2015 session. That bill passed the Senate, passed the House. It needed concurrence for a conflict amendment, and that was overlooked, so it was left at the Senate desk at sine die, and so it did not get passed. So Senate Bill 1596 is basically that bill updated slightly for changes that occurred during the 2015 session in other statute. There is a Dash 3 amendment that LFO is recommending that clarifies and expands slightly the substantive program change reporting statute. And that amendment was posted a little over an hour ago on OLIS.
Very good.
There is one person signed up to testify.
Okay, very good. And that person is Peggy Lynch, please.
Peggy Lynch, League of Women Voters of Oregon. The League of Women Voters is a grassroots, nonpartisan, grassroots political organization that encourages informed and active participation in government, and this is an example of that. We understand the importance of the budget process. We appreciated the task force work. We followed the task force work. We were probably the public in the task force work. But we get the nexus between the budgets and policies, and we wanted to make sure, and that's why I'm here today, to say that you will see League members following various budgets, and you will see us following policies. But this is important that we get the process that's working today in statute so that there is no question about the work that you do. So we certainly say good bill should pass. Thank you very much for the time.
Thank you for your testimony. Any questions for Ms. Lynch? Okay, I don't see any. And that is the only person who has signed up. Is there anyone else who would like to testify on the bill? I don't see anyone. We'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 1596 and open a work session on Senate Bill 1596.
Mr. Co-Chair, I move Senator the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 1596.
Thank you. Senator Gerard moves the Dash 3 amendments to Senate Bill 1596. Is there any discussion?
Yes.
Senator Devin, please.
This particular bill, in terms of the task force, this task force was actually sort of a statutory review task force, basically taking out archaic language and in some cases language that if we were to redo this, we would have never put it in the first place. And the reality is these statutes had not been reviewed since probably the 1960s. So we're hopeful that this bill will make it through on its second try through both chambers, since it practically went through unanimously, I think, its first try.
Good. Thank you. Further discussion? I don't see any, so...
This was the amendments.
Very good. So the motion carries, and the Dash 3 amendments are adopted. Senator Gerard, please.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I move Senate Bill 1596, as amended with the Dash 3 amendments, to the full Ways and Means Committee with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Gerard has moved Senate Bill 1596, as amended by the Dash 3 amendments, to the full committee with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Senator, the motion carries. That's the full committee. Senator Devlin, I'm guessing based on your experience with it, you might be a good carrier.
Representative Buckley will carry it full. He will carry the House floor, and I'll carry it to the Senate floor.
Very good. Okay. So we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1596. Yes, absolutely. And out of an abundance of caution, just in case we are needed again, we are not going to adjourn. We are going to recess. Anything else we need to do?
Nope.
Okay, very good. We're in recess.